half of them.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Man, I am, well, you know, I was about to say I'm good, but I don't know if anyone can really say that these days. So I guess my answer to that is I am slowly acclimating to this new way of life.
That in itself is a good step. It's better than freaking out and lighting your hair on fire.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, granted that the apocalypse is upon us and we're all going to die, but no, I'm just trying to take things like one day at a time.
Well, fortunately, Fortunately, Lauren dropped the bomb the other day on me that there were several asteroids like headed towards Earth. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then so I Googled it. And sure enough, there were like this weekend, there were four asteroids that like whizzed by Earth.
Awesome.
And then apparently there's locusts in Saudi Arabia, like a huge field of locusts. So It is sort of like, oh, all right. I can dress Palmer, my dog, up like a lamb and take him out back.
Right.
And offer him up. No offense, Palmer.
Palmer's like, what?
Yeah, he's like, well, what I told, are you doing?
Well, on Facebook the other day, I wrote, you know, this whole situation is kind of like the scene in Airplane, the movie, when on top of being told that they'll probably die in a fiery crash, they're also out of coffee. Like, that to me is what this situation is. Are you our telling us everything?
Is toilet paper. That's our coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand the whole, like, thankfully my wife was already, you know, stocking, you know, toilet paper for the past year. So we have like 57 rolls and we've been able to help out our neighbors, but I don't get the whole toilet paper thing. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. And don't throw away your cardboard boxes either. So whatever you got to do, you got to do.
Is that if we're going to be homeless or something, the boxes? What is this? What are those?
No,
for?
Like toilet paper, anything, oh, cardboard, right. No. Paper, leaves.
Wow, that seems rough, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's good knowledge. This is a podcast that teaches, informs. I did not know to use cardboard like that way.
No, well, you know, it was.
I was just
like
gonna
a joke,
go to Amazon and buy a bidet.
It was a joke, but you took it to, you know, you really read into it, so I didn't have anything. I didn't have anywhere to go with that.
I'm sorry. My sense of
humor. It's all right, man. It was meant to be a joke, but it's okay. You killed it. No problem.
I do want to consider. We're getting our bathroom redone right now, and so I was like, ooh, okay. What if we got a bidet amidst all this toilet paper shortage? But I think it's too.
You know what? You don't see bidets every. You don't see them that much anymore. So I think definitely, yeah, bring it back.
I've only seen one bidet in my entire life. It was at an old hotel in Oklahoma City of all places. And and it was like, I was like, what is this thing? It's like a broken toilet or something. It was like a toilet next to the toilet.
So, right.
I don't understand the lifestyle of the rich and famous. It's so confusing.
Yeah. I think I was at a hotel once that had them. And I just had no idea of, like, is this a water fountain? I didn't know what it was. I was so I went to so I've got to give a shout out to Best Buy because I went there tonight to – well, I bought Maddie a Chromebook yesterday in the store. And I was, like, one of the last – they were shutting the store down. And it was weird because, you know, I got the one on the shelf and the person like handed it with, you know, as much distance as possible. And today I had to go back to get a couple other things. And right now you order the stuff and pay for it online and just pull right up to, you know, your local Best Buy and they'll bring it out to you. So
it's kinda, work well? I mean, like,
yeah. Yeah. I know. I bought the stuff online. Selected which store I was going to pick it up at. And then once they have the stuff there, they text you. And then, you just pull right up and they bring it right to your car. And I had actually forgotten to buy something online that I wanted. And, you know, I said, you know, by the way, can someone go in there and grab a basic, mouse, wireless mouse for the computer. They ran in, got, brought it out, and just paid for it right there. So
that's cool.
I, you know, if that's the way Best Buy is going to operate, then it's pretty good. I'll totally give them a shout out.
How our sacrifices in this time of crisis have made us just more lazy is what it's done.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, I mean, they were open for in-store hours yesterday. But I bought the computer and the guy's like, yeah, you're like one of the last customers, like we're kicking people out. Man, so
it's getting real.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
No, How is teleworking?
You know, so last week I was supposed to be off this week. We were going to go to Florida, but you know, that's not going to happen.
Is this spring break? So I'll probably, for you guys?
Well, so spring break for the community college was last week and we extended it into this week as well. So students aren't coming back until Monday the 30th. And then once they, when they do come back, basically everything is online. So faculty and advisors are going to be spending this whole week, you know, make sure that we're ready to go with online learning and online advising. So yeah, I did a couple of advising appointments last week with WebEx, and I got it. It's, you know, a little weird, but I think we'll be able to manage it. So
I'm trying to get used to the whole, like, I feel like I have so many calendars now for different things, and I'm like, okay, did I schedule this on Zoom or RingCentral WebEx or free conference line? Like, it's
Well, they want us to use WebEx. They want us to be ready to go with Zoom and one other one I forgot. So right now WebEx is my thing, but you know, I've heard a lot, and I know you're a fan of Zoom. I've heard a lot of people, like Lane just did a group call tonight with all of her girlfriends on Zoom. And so it was, you know, Lane in Colorado and then someone in South Carolina and then some folks in Georgia, and she said it worked great. So
it
might be the way to go.
I think they've given it for free use. Cause it's like, I think if you have a lot of people, you have to have a subscription or else it's only so many minutes.
Right.
But yeah, I think that teachers get it for free now. Zoom made it free for teachers during this time, which was a nice gesture.
Well, you're using it tonight. Is that for free?
Yeah, this is the free version. If you have two people, you can do it for free for longer than 40 minutes.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
We're not using it for the kids' school, though. We're still trying to figure out what they're doing for school, the boys. So, they were out last week. Baltimore City was like, come pick up this packet. And so we went, and Elliot had a packet, my youngest, 7-year-old, that was like 50 pages. And then Oliver, my oldest, my 10-year-old, had like one sheet of paper with some links on it. And I'm like, oh, something seems very unjudicious here. You know, not really equitable in the terms of distribution of homework. So
yeah. Well, we're hoping that we're waiting for. I think the faculty at Maddie's school, Maddie's in second grade, are supposed to be spending this week coming up, basically figuring out how they want to provide lessons to students and things like that moving forward. So, you know, I think it's going to be weird, but I just think everybody needs to be really patient with, you know, your teachers and all that stuff while they kind of, you know, get a grasp on it. I mean, so Lane went to Maddie's school today because the school was allowing parents to come in and grab stuff for, you know, any stuff left behind by their kids. Mm-hmm. And so Lane pulled up to the school. I wasn't with her, but Lane pulled up to the school and they were basically out there in hazmat suits. And, you know, you would tell them your child's name and they would get all the stuff and it would come in a plastic bag. And, you know, Lane lost it. Like Lane was like, yep, that's where it really hit. Like, you know, we can't go into our daughter's school anymore.
It's like the end of ET or something.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Weird.
Exactly. And she said that, you know, a lot of people were affected by it, but that really hit Lane hard today. So, I mean, when I left my office on Wednesday or Thursday, I forgot. I basically turned off the lights and I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to be back in here again. So, but yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully it'll all work out. Mike Mark goes out to New York. I mean, New Yorkers and New York City in general, they're getting hit bad with this.
I know. I need to call family up there. It's been, yeah, I can't even imagine hearing people talk about it. Like, just like Times Square, just like a ghost town.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm not a fan of New York. Like, I just never want to be in that city again. But even I'm like, yeah.
A true Philly boy.
I'm praying. It's, you know, it's not even a Philly thing. I just, when I worked in New York, you know some of this. I mean, when I worked in New York, when I got the producing job for Send, I was all excited about it. I'm like, you know, and I told Lane, we didn't have Matt on yet. I'm like, we need to live in New York. This is great. And, you know, we were all gung-ho about it. So I called up a realtor in New York and I'm talking to the guy on the phone. And I said, yeah, so my wife and I, our budget is $2,100 a month. So what does that get me? And he's like, that gets you New Jersey. Enjoy. And I was just like,
well, you guys did have a nice place in New Jersey.
Yeah. But I said to the guy, like, I just was a novice when it came to New York. I said, yeah. And I told him, like, no, you heard me right. Right. I said, $2,100 a month. That's pretty good. He's like, yeah. No, it's really not. Yeah. And I think I'd even said to him, like, yeah, you know, my wife and I are thinking about either like Soho or the Upper West Side, something like that. Guy was just like, dude, I hope you enjoy New Jersey.
And we always joke when we lived there that we, you know, I met Lauren in Brooklyn. And we got priced out of Brooklyn, so we had to move to Manhattan where it was cheaper. Like, it's crazy how the real estate's always in flux. But we'll see after this.
Yeah.
We'll see if this –
Yep.
Yeah, although now is a good time to buy, apparently, because there's, like, zero interest in the Fed right now. So.
Well, we were supposed to we had planned to use this upcoming week to get our house ready to put on the market. And you know, our realtors are like, nope, just hold off. Well, you know, and plus, you know, with everything that's going on, do you really want strangers walking through your house that you don't know and you don't know where they came from? So yeah, that's all on hold. But how are your kids holding up with all of it?
They're doing good, although it's realizing, like, that usually there's a real tight group of kids in the part of Baltimore we live in, down by the harbor where we are. And, and we saw some kids last Monday, and that's the last we've seen of, like, the cliques. Like, everyone is really, I mean, in some sense, it's really good that everyone is keeping to themselves, right? Families, I think, realize they don't want to be the family that spreads. And there was a while, there was, like, a parent sign-up list going around for families to sign up and try to help out with babysitting, but that fell pretty quick to the wayside. I think other families were all just kind of like, you know, we're just going to dig in and try to really respect this wish to isolate. And so it's been hard to, like, try to think of, you know, ways to get the kids, you know, to not feel isolated. You know, it's good because you can still go outside. It's not like there's, like, you know, a militia outside every time you stick your head out going, get in, you know.
Yeah.
But it is, we're lucky we're nowhere near that. But you know, it's everyone keeps their distance on the street. It just feels different. And you got to think, like, that's impacting them some way. Like, this is going to be transformative for their development, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Especially if it goes on, like, the end of a school year. I mean, could you imagine when we were kids, if a school year got canceled, like, 2-3 months out? We're still 3 months out from when they're supposed to finish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially because, you know, when you and I were growing up and going to school, there was no internet. So, if you couldn't go to school, I mean, how would you, I don't even know how you would even begin to learn at home, study at home or whatever. I mean, we would have been able to, I'm sure, you know, we would have made do.
Oh, yeah, but well,
it's hard to think about, like, what going through this now would be like without internet access.
I know. Well, I was a single mom kid though. I mean, it's like, I can't imagine, you know, like what would, I mean, cause it's teach, like, I wonder if like homeschool parents are just like, whatever, you people just shut up.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, I'm sure. Like, yeah. Well, I'm sure they're like the most popular people in their neighborhood now. It's like people are calling them. So how exactly do you do this homeschool thing?
Exactly. A whole new respect.
Maddie told us last week. Yeah. Maddie told us last week we were trying to do it. And Maddie looked at me and she's like, you know, homeschooling really sucks for adults. Like, yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we weren't even like a week into this thing. So
I think people, the problem is people craft their lives sort of around that homeschool. I mean, you know, you're probably going to have a parent that's, you know, sort of pulling the full time on the teaching sense or being there for them. And
yep.
Whereas, you know, we're a two income earning family that has jobs that we can't really,
yeah.
You know, we're both in a sense, non-essential, or what do you call it? Essential employees, my wife and I. So.
Right.
She's yeah. Still going in.
Oh, she is. Oh, that's yeah. Right. Yeah, she is.
They have her 4 hours a day, and it's just for, cause for medical, you know, like triaging. So where they okay. Like, you know, she's an eye doc. So they'll be like, you know, patients, I guess, if there's an issue that they could still call. So they're not flooding the, you know, the ERs or the other place, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, she's right, that's
like
good.
4 hours. Yeah, it is good, but it's still like, you know, she has to, I mean, I imagine the traffic's nice.
Yeah.
On the streets I hear, but I don't know. I haven't been in a car in a,
yeah.
Over a week.
I just think like, you know, there's going to come a point where people are going to be like, you know, ridiculous. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. I need to see people. I need human contact. I need, you know, I need to be out and about. Like, I just feel like, you know, unless martial law is declared, that, you know, eventually people will be like, I can't live like this. Yeah. You know, we're only like, what, a week into this. So it feels like it, this whole situation went from 0 to 100 in like the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
You know, it was
a marathon.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Happy news then. Go ahead.
Yeah. Happy news then. So, since you are a musician, you play like 11 different instruments. I thought I would tell you this funny story. So I'm like a intermediate, I'm somewhere between beginner and intermediate when it comes to guitar. And so I've been playing, in this little group, at my synagogue, and we're just playing like, you know, really simple, like, yeah, songs and stuff. And, you know, it's my fault. Like, I don't really practice a lot during a week. So, mm-hmm. And I'm playing an acoustic guitar, and like 20 minutes into it, my fingers are just killing me.
Yeah.
Like, and we're just playing really simple stuff. And so I went to, so I was thinking, you know, they must make these like silicone tip things that you can put fingers if you don't have calluses. And I'm like, they've got to have something like that. So I went to Guitar Center. And I went to the guys up behind the counter, and he's like working on this beautiful Les Paul. And I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, by the way, do you guys sell those silicone fingertip things for guitar players? He's like, yeah, they're right over there, tampons. You know,
jeez. He's
like, you pussy. It's like, get calluses, you know?
Yeah.
He was serious. I was like, well, no, it's not for me. It's for a friend of mine. Yeah, it's my friend.
That I'm yes, married. I have a friend. You know, my 4-year-old yeah. Child that has very tender fingers. And,
exactly.
Yes. My and dog, he'll like, claw
he,
it up.
And, yeah. Yeah, and he knew that I was so. Yeah. But I will say, I did buy them, and they're pretty cool. You can't do any kind of sliding on the strings on them. But yeah. If you're just playing like these simple guitar chords and stuff like that, I'm acting them. So I think what I've decided to do is, you know, I'm going to play until my fingers hurt, and then I'm going to put them on. So, wow. Yeah.
That's a better strategy than mine as a kid, when I would just put super glue on the tips of my fingers, and it would work for like 2 songs, and then it would start to crack and
well, become no, like and someone
train
else...
tracks on my fingers of grooves from strings.
Yeah. But I mean that's someone else. I was watching YouTube videos on it, and the people are like, listen, you know, if you're really desperate, yeah, put super glue on your fingers. And like, I didn't know that was an actual thing, but people do that.
Yeah.
I mean, do your fingers still hurt at all? Like if you're playing for like an hour or 2 hours, or are you just like numb to it now?
You know, it's funny because typically, no, they don't hurt. I'm very lucky. I mean, I've been playing for 40 years now. So
yeah,
since I was a wee lad, since I was negative 12. And, but I've been washing my hands so much that one of the fingers on my left hand today, I started to notice was really tender. And I wonder if it's just because I'm just like, I mean, I don't know if washi would take away a calluses, but like something is like the fingers themselves are just getting really irritated from all the washing. Like I wash like times a day. Like, and I just, I've noticed today that one finger is starting to like be sore when I was playing earlier today.
And I don't really?
Because I don't know if it's just because of drying out and maybe it's cracking or it's because so much washing.
But yeah, but you play bass too. So those are big, thicker strings, aren't they?
They are, but I play, yes. But on the bass, since I got the bass out of the shop, took it out of the shop a couple months ago, I had them put flat wound strings on it. And, right. Because it's a fretless bass, and that's a lot smoother. You can get flat wound for electric guitar, for regular six string guitar. In fact, like the 1950s strings were all what's called flat wound. They weren't the round wound steel strings yet. So, you know, you can still kind of get that 50s sound, you know, a cool old school sound on it if you use flat wound.
I never even heard of those before.
Yeah, it's just a different way they would wind the string up. It's not as bright sounding, but it's great for just kind of like blues and, you know, just 60s sounding music. You know,
Well, you know, if you ever want to get them, just go into a guitar center and be like, yeah, my friend.
Okay, we'll try it out.
Ask me to get these ones. Yeah. It's like, man, they're right over there next to the tampons. Enjoy. Yeah, just walk my head down.
Chicks can rock on the guitar too.
This is horrible. Yeah. But speaking of guitars, do you know what the most expensive guitar ever sold at auction was? Which guitar holds the distinction as most expensive ever sold at auction?
Like part of me thinks maybe a John Lennon or a Jimi Hendrix, but
close.
Yeah, is it famous because of it's like maybe a one of a kind, or because it was the person that played it?
The person who played it. So the most expensive guitar ever sold at auction was David Gilmour's Black Strat.
Oh, and sold that. The black,
sold a couple months ago for $3.9 million.
Holy jeez.
And it's the Strat that he used on like all the famous
Like Dark Side of the Moon
Dark Side, and it's his like go-to guitar. And David Gilmour a couple months ago auctioned off all of his guitars with the exception of a few, and he was doing it so he can give all the money to a global warming nonprofit. It was incredible. He sold the Black Strat, his Martin D35 that he used for Wish You Were Here, his Red Strat. And so anyway, so I just thought that was really cool that he did. So I was looking at, reading this article about it. And by the way, the guy who bought the Black Strat is Jim Isray, who's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts. And he bought the Black Strat, he bought Gilmour's Martin D35, and then he bought $700,000 the case for the Black Strat. We're just talking about the case. But
okay.
Well, you mentioned Jimi Hendrix. So his 1968 Fender Stratocaster sold for $2 million. The Stratocaster that Bob Dylan played at the Newport Folk Festival.
Right, when he went electric.
That was $965,000. And the most expensive acoustic guitar ever sold was Marley's Washburn. And that was somewhere between $1.2 and $2 million.
Wow.
So one day, I mean, Tony, one day people will be like, I wonder if Tony's going to auction this bass guitar, because I would bet for that.
A 4-pack of Guinness and
yeah,
for it, some picks. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. So I was reading that article and it just kind of blew me away.
That's crazy.
And then, yeah. And then I wanted to tell you, so before we all got kicked out of community college last week, I went to the library on campus and I got a bunch of CDs, mm-hmm. music that I don't have in my own library. And the thing, what I think is that the stuff that I'm about to listen to is stuff that you were probably listening to 30 years ago. But believe it or not, I don't have U2 Rattle and Hum in my collection. So I grabbed that. I don't good have album. U2 Joshua Tree.
I was listening Joshua to that Tree today, making dinner tonight. Streets Have No Name pop
not
on.
In my,
just, it just moves you.
Yep. Yep. It's an album I do not have in my library. Another one, Steve Miller Band Greatest Hits, was not in my library.
One. I don't have that one, but Lauren has that one.
That's just one of those CDs where it's like anytime you hear it, like you're probably like love listening. AC/DC Highway to Hell.
Good.
Was
Bon
not
Scott
in my
years.
Collection. Yep. Yep.
Boys watched School of Rock the other week and they played that and that, and it really got them going.
Well, that's my thing with Madeline. I'll like go up to Madeline and be like, "Hey, Madeline, it's a long way to the top." And she'll answer, "If you want to rock and roll." So that's our thing now.
We're gonna try the camp. Dudes ever camp again? The School of Rock camp for the kids this summer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I need to watch that movie with her, School of Rock. That was a great movie.
Pretty good. It was really. They really liked it. Like it. They were really into it, which was nice. I felt like that's one of those movies that, like, it's nice that when you start watching movies that both grown-ups and kids can enjoy together.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Painfully working your way through Lava Boy and Shark Girl, or Shark Boy and Lava Girl, whatever it was.
What are those?
It was this really hard-to-watch movie with George Lopez as the lead villain. Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Yeah. Not yeah. Forget Me. Nope.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, count yourself lucky if you've not seen it.
Another album that was not in my library, The Very Best of Foreigner.
No.
I was never really into Foreigner, but I thought I should have it.
Jukebox Hero.
The next one.
Feels Like the First Time.
Yep. Yep. What's the other one that I know? Urgent. Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Now, these are from the library?
One. These are from the library at the community college I work at. Where you
do you have the out. Little card
that yeah.
has the checkout date? So it's like last checked out 1989. Like that, or...
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Thanks.
Sorry. Don't laugh. I will say, for lunch today, I had not heard in like probably 15 years. I cranked up Slippery When Wet. And Elliot and I were screaming the lyrics during lunch today. I made him lunch and we were like just, you know, yelling Living on a Prayer. And it was awesome. Just my 7-year-old just rock out,
Bon
like
Jovi.
Moving his head to Bon Jovi. Yeah.
That was a great album. It
was
is
a great
album.
Album.
I mean, that album came like, out and that was.
Go ahead.
No, I was. No, that was like that album came out and like in like I didn't like everyone had a copy of that album. Like to me, like Slippery When Wet, BC Boys Fight for Your Right, and there's another and Guns N' Roses, what was it, Lies? Appetite for Destruction.
Yes.
Like those were three albums that when they came out, like yeah. And then Nirvana, Nevermind. But another album that's not in my library was The Eagles' Hell Freezes Over.
Oh, that was like their live one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, so I couldn't I haven't been able to listen to the Eagles in 20 years because when I used to DJ, the students, you know, high school students would always request Hotel California because it was this really long slow song and you could just dance and like, you know, just make out with, uh-huh. with your date the whole time. So Hotel California and Stairway to Heaven were two songs that I could not listen to for about 20 years because, again, the students were like, hey, can you play Stairway to Heaven? Yeah, we'll give you 9 minutes to dance with your girlfriend. No, go for it. So I've only like recently been able to start listening to those songs again. And then the other one I got, Van Halen Live, with the Sammy Hagar years. Oh. And then three albums that should come as a complete shock to anyone who knows me, Metallica, Master of Puppets, Metallica, Injustice for All, and Metallica, Ride Lightning.
All three staple albums. Very cool.
Wait,
you've got a lot of listening. For someone that's not driving to and from work for the next few weeks.
Yep, you know it. So
are you just going to go sit in your car and turn the music on and pretend you're driving to work each day when you're teleworking?
No, I've become really I have to have music when I'm working. So, I have a really good pair of noise-canceling headphones, and mm-hmm. I've just been, for the last year or so, like I have to be listening to music. When I work, so it's like, you can only listen to so many things over and over, and so I don't know why I got into Metallica. I think it was because I was listening to Nothing Else Matters, and I'm listening to it. Yeah. I'm like, this is a really good song. Like, it's really there's a lot of different layers to it and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna listen to something, and so then I listened to Metallica's One, and so yeah.
And my first band, we tried to.
I don't know anything about Metallica, but what?
Our first band, we were trying to find our identity. We played that. We tried to play that, and then we also played like "You Might Think I'm Foolish" by the Cars. So I'm just like, one of us in this band has to like go. Like somebody in this band needs to like get their, went from Metallica to Kasich from the Cars.
What was the Metallica song you guys tried to play?
One. We tried to play One.
Oh, wow. That's that's ambitious.
Our drummer had like a double bass drum pedal, and he thought it was like, the one thing in life he had to try to fulfill was to learn that song. So, and then we would stop and be like, all right, now we're going to try the Cars.
Like, how do you even make that transition? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, talk about like two songs that are so diametrically, apart from each other.
No, probably by that point Mountain Dew high wore off, so we were ready for
some like, and if you were like playing in front of people, like you couldn't transition into that. You'd have to stop after One and say, and now we're gonna go in a totally different direction.
Burke, like, Bacharach, there's no way you could everybody
play. Yeah, there's no way you can you'd have to stop down. I want to ask you, so is there one album that you listened to so much as a kid that to this day you can't listen to it anymore because you just, you listen to it, like you wore it out?
Like that I just, I'm bad, like reaction, gut react, visceral reaction to?
Well, it's an album that you love and that you really, you would tell anyone, you gotta have this album, but that you really can't listen to.
I get bored by probably like Zeppelin 4.
Okay.
I might say, like, those are amazing. I probably listen to the heck out of that. But I just, if it were to come on the radio tomorrow, like, any of the songs on the album, I'd probably be like, I'll see what's on the
right.
Album.
Well, for me, it's Tom Petty, Full Moon Fever.
Is that the one with American Girl? What's on that one? No.
No. So,
Heartbreaker.
Full Moon Fever is. Free Falling, Running Down a Dream, and Won't Back Down.
I Won't Back Down.
Yeah.
That was, man, that summer, I remember when that album came out. Like, those songs were on the radio, like, every minute. I can imagine how much they made in royalties.
Yeah, it's like, it was that album, NXS Kick, and there was another one that I listened to. It's like I love those albums, but I just I can't listen to them because it's so worn out. And then I was also reading just while we're talking, 96 Rock.
Atlantis. Sorry, flashback. Go ahead.
Oh no, I would. I was thinking. I don't remember any of the radio stations in Atlanta except like Album 88. But that was about. That's the only one that I know.
There was 99X. That was big in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which was weird because a lot of people from 99X went up to New York City and worked for this. What was it like? Rock 100 or something, some 100 something,
right?
Channel up in New York that was like trying to compete against Q103, which is like the Q104.3, which is like the rock station of New York City. But then, like, who was it? Leslie Fram and one of the other DJs from WNNX in Atlanta. This is like totally boring people, unless for like two people are from Atlanta listening to this, maybe.
No, I don't, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, when I lived in Georgia, so before I transferred to UGA, I was a student at Georgia Southern University, which is in Statesboro, Georgia, which is 250 miles south of Atlanta. So the car I had at the time was this Oldsmobile Delta 88.
Oh my god, I remember no that car.
Deck. Yeah, it was this beige car with no tape deck. So all I had was the radio. And so while you're in Atlanta and a little outside of Atlanta, you had your pick of some really great radio stations. But then after that, you were Macon and you were Vidalia what the hell was that place called? Vidalia. Like you would have all those places that would have maybe two or three radio stations. And the majority of them were like, you know, Bible Hour, you know?
Yeah.
So you just had nothing. I think I did that ride once, and then I was like, I'm buying the tape deck.
We play both kinds here, country and western.
Yep. But yeah, it's like once you got into the Macon area, you had your slim pickings.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you. Here's another. While we're talking about music and stuff, what is the biggest selling album of all time?
I mean, I would say Thriller?
Close. Thriller was the biggest selling album of all time, and it got dethroned by the Eagles. The Eagles' Greatest Hits is the best selling album of all time.
All right, man. I think we've made it for a week now. This is nice to be back in the groove, as it was.
It is.
So
back. I really enjoyed this. I'm looking forward to doing more of this.
Yeah, well, we will definitely same time, same place, same whatever, same download link, something like that. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Peace out.
No problem. Love is gone, it's gone, daddy gone. Love is gone.
won't leave.